And we're back. This is Jim Santel. Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. I'm here in the studios of WAUK Radio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, right here along Wisconsin Avenue. And this morning we're chatting about additional cases before the United States Supreme Court. Things, issues, concerns, challenges that are going to implicate many, many aspects of our lives and our livelihood in the United States of America, not just now, but in the future. Right before the break, we were chatting about this case called Carson versus Macon coming out of Maine. Maine giving school-aged children the right to a free public education. But because many of the rural districts in Maine lack a public high school and other schools, a legislative, basically a workaround was put in place that permitted those students to attend nearby qualifying private schools with public assistance, with public tax dollars. So where does the problem come in? Where does the challenge come in? Well, under Maine law, schools that offer religious instruction are ineligible. And the Maine authorities say the reason for that is that under the First Amendment, they would be establishing religion as a government, if in fact they were to use your tax dollars to support religious education in Maine. This exclusion, sometimes called the sectarian exclusion, a policy that makes K-12 schools with religious instruction ineligible for taxpayer-backed tuition aid, that's the basis for this challenge. The challenge is basically under Carson versus Macon, as brought by Maine parents who say that barring their family's preferred schools from the tuition aid program based on religion does what? It violates their constitutional religious rights under the First Amendment. And their claim, their position is that under the related clause of the First Amendment, that the Maine authorities are affecting, are dampening, are taking away their free exercise right. And so you've got this challenge between the two phrases, the two clauses of the First Amendment, the Establishment Religion Clause, which the state of Maine is implicating and is bringing forth to justify its exclusion of private religious schools from the possibility of getting funding for school-aged children. And you've got the parents who say, gee, if you exclude me from that, you are violating my right to free exercise. And so that's what's before the Supreme Court right now. Which one of those? Can they be reconciled? Which one of those has precedence over the other? And does Maine win? Are they right in establishing or not establishing a religion and going forward and implementing and enforcing its law? Or are the parents right? Are the parents right in advocating for this notion that under their free exercise rights, under the first article of the Bill of Rights, they should have the right to have their students, their children, attend a private school, a religious school, using tax dollars? Not an easy case. We know that in 2020, there was a case called Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue. And basically, the court at that time found that the state of Montana can't exclude religious schools from participation in a scholarship program. States have to allow religious schools to participate in programs that provide scholarships to students attending private schools. So in that particular case, the Supreme Court sided in favor of the religious interest and found that the government interest in not establishing religion was overcome, if you will, by the free exercise rights of those parents and those students, also raising a concern and a challenge under the First Amendment. So the name of that case, once again, Carson versus Macon. Carson versus Macon. And yet there's another case, a second case in the broad category of religion, and it's also pending for the Supreme Court right now. And this is one that you probably also saw in the news not too long ago. The facts on this case, problematically, are not entirely clear, and the Supreme Court justices at the time of the oral argument were sort of frustrated by this, did not have clarity on this, so it's entirely possible that they may send this back to the lower court for some clarification of exactly what happened and what didn't, or they may choose the facts that they think most compelling and reach a certain result. So what's the case all about? What is it called first? It's called Kennedy versus Bremerton, Bremerton School District. Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. And again, you may have seen a lot of this story on the news because it's one that we see virtually every week. High school sports, for years and years. We've got a high school coach. He is in Seattle. And for many years, again, according to one version of the facts, after every single game, he prays. He prays at the 50-yard line of his football field. And, of course, we don't intrude into his individual prayer, but it follows games that his team has been playing in on the field. And everyone knows that the high school coach has been doing this over time. Over time, some of his players have joined him in that. First, a small number. And now, according to one set of the facts, the entire team now prays with him at the 50-yard line. And, of course, the high school coach maintains that his prayer, his decision to kneel down along the 50-yard line for a long period of time, this has been going on historically for many years, that that he should have that right to do that because under, again, the first article, the first portion of the Bill of Rights, Article 1, he's got a right to the free exercise of his religion. And again, you should know under past precedent that the Supreme Court has said that indeed there is a right. There is a right under the First Amendment to the Constitution to exercise your religious faith, your religious views, free exercise of religion by doing what? You can pray in school. You can open up the Quran, the Bible, the Torah, and you can have private prayer if you would like. Obviously, appropriate circumstances, appropriate time and place for the instructions got to go on as well. But school prayer is not forbidden, but it's got to be individual. What I can't do, you can't have a teacher, you can't have the administration compel an entire class, for example, to open up the Bible, open up the Torah, the Quran, other books of spiritual inspiration. I can't have them pray as a group because that's, once again, institutionalizing inside the government, inside the school district, the notion of religion, and that would run afoul of the Establishment of Religion clause. So we know that you can do it individually. Students can do that, and presumably teachers, and even a school coach can do that. The question is, when it becomes broader than that, when it is in fact more of a class, in this particular case kind of a team, how do those weigh out? Okay, so the high school teacher, the coach, he's initially reprimanded, eventually he is suspended from his Seattle teaching and coaching job there because they maintain that he has now run afoul of the Establishment Clause, and by having all of his team members on the field for his prayers, again, we're not quite certain about all the specific facts here, so we'll wait to see the Supreme Court's rendition of those as well, but under that particular set of facts, as I've described them, the question is whether or not the decision by the school district to suspend, to discipline him, is proper, whether it's a proper exercise of their obligations, if you will, under the first article, the First Amendment, establishing that there should be no establishment of religion by an institution like a school district, a school, or in the alternative, should there in fact be a recognition of the coach's position that he's got a right under the First Amendment to exercise his beliefs and pursue his religious beliefs by having prayer. And the mere fact that others join him, members of his team join him on the field, do not undercut, do not compromise in any way his right under the First Amendment to exercise his religious liberties. So again, the case is Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, very significant. What do you think? Call me, 844-967-2789. These are not easy issues. The other ones, obviously, much related to rulemaking, the environmental case, the West Virginia case, lots of rules there, Biden versus Texas under the APA. This one more fundamental to the Constitution. What are those terms? What do those phrases in the Constitution mean? What does establishment of religion mean in this context? Is the school district right, Bremerton School District, in terminating him for engaging in what he maintains is the exercise of his religion under Article 1? And again, we're taking your phone calls on that and any other issues at 844-967-2789. So we've got these three other major cases also being decided by the United States Supreme Court very soon, perhaps as soon as this coming week. Let me talk a little bit about what the Supreme Court has done and how they work and how we can perhaps begin to think about some prediction here. We know that the Supreme Court on a regular basis tells us those times when we do have cases coming up for decision. We knew that there were some decision days just this past week on Monday and again on Wednesday. The Supreme Court issued about six different opinions. They dismissed one case, issued some other opinions and in a case called Viking River Cruises having to do with contractual waivers. They made some decisions in a case called George versus McDonough, a Veterans Affairs case on benefits, another case on Medicare prescription drugs, reimbursement rates, a couple of other cases as well. Those issued just this past week. And we know that there'll be more cases coming up this coming week as well. Decision days on Tuesday, June 21, and again on Thursday, June 28th. This Tuesday, this Thursday, more cases being decided by the United States Supreme Court. All the five we've talked about. Come back after the break. We're going to chat more about that and move on to January 6th. This is WAUK Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel, taking your calls, 540 AM, 101 FM.